Well, I have behind me Deacon Dan and Deacon Randy, but it's not that Deacon Randy. It's Deacon Randy Knechnicht, who was just ordained 8 days ago to the diaconate. Thank you for saying yes to Jesus. Lay down your life. The bishop has given me this deacon. He's in mint condition now, and as I like to say, it's my job to change that. So he'll be with us all year. He's preparing for priesthood in next June. God willing, Bishop Boyer willing, he'll be ordained a priest. He'll be with us a full time through the summer and then on the weekends through the year. You know the thing. We've done this before. Though I don't know if we've had such a holy deacon from such a holy family before. This is the brother of Fathers Todd and Gary. No pressure. For those of you who are planning on attending family catechesis, just so you know, we decided just instead of doing the session we were going to do, we're just going to join in with the worship and the kind of at the end of Mass, it's an extended time of prayer. Just join us for that. We'll pick up those sessions in the Lord's good time, but for the last session of this year for family catechesis, just join us at the end of Mass for this. For this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because it's Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the beginning of the mission of the church is actually not, you know, we could pick a lot of days. When was the church born? But really, Pentecost is the day. Because this is the day where the mission and the demands of the gospel and the need that the world has was met by the power of the Holy Spirit infilling all the believers. The incredible task that the Lord has invited us to join Him in doing of saving and redeeming the world, He invites us to join Him in doing that, is impossible for us to do without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. It's just not possible. It's just not doable. So what we see, there's a lot of things you could say about Pentecost. First of all, and most importantly, it was at 9 a.m. Well done. Okay. I think the biggest thing is, before Pentecost, what is the church doing? They're all hiding in the upper room for fear of being arrested. Okay, they saw Jesus be crucified, and yes, most of them saw him, many at least, saw him risen and alive afterward, but they have not yet received the grace to go out. So they are locked in. And Jesus actually said, wait in Jerusalem until you're clothed with power from on high, and then you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth and Samaria and everywhere, okay? And when they, before Pentecost, what they were doing, hiding in the upper room, hiding, afraid, didn't want to get arrested. What happens after Pentecost? They are regularly being arrested for preaching the gospel. When they get arrested, are they afraid? Are they like, oh no, I feel so bad. I'm so sorry. We're really sorry for preaching the gospel. We promise never to do it again. Now they considered it a joy and an honor to have suffered dishonor for the sake of the name of Jesus. They at one point were captured and put in prison, and then an angel let them out of prison and they started preaching in the city square, and the Sanhedrin officials were concerned about this, so they brought them in and told them, stop preaching. And they said, well, we can't really do that. You know, the apostles did not bow before any authority except that of God. I don't mean that they disrespected civil authorities in an ungodly way, but they didn't respect civil authorities in an ungodly way either. Okay, they were, they committed civil disobedience and they were arrested, which means that the bishop's injunction on me not to get arrested while preaching is unbiblical. And riots broke out when the apostles would preach. So Were they really concerned and fearful and thinking, oh no, I better just be really careful and tiptoe around everybody? No. Were people offended? Yeah, that's an understatement. When the angel led them out of prison, I was just mentioning they got in prison, angel led them out of prison, they're preaching. The synagogue officials gather them back in and say, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. They say, we won't. And then they beat them. They beat them and let them go. The apostles are beaten and then released. It's like a catch and release, but slight twist on it. And they're just going to keep going, they keep going, and they keep preaching. These are not men who decided, you know, we should just be really careful and be really fearful. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? They were filled with zeal. They were filled with charity, okay? This wasn't pride. It's the opposite of pride. They were willing to lose esteem in the eyes of others because of their love for God and their zeal for souls. And just the reality that this is, the Lord wants the message of salvation to go to the ends of the earth. What does that have to do with you? Raise your hand if you've been confirmed. What is the grace that you received at confirmation? The Holy Spirit? Yes, that is the right answer. The Catechism says, and I'm going to keep quoting this until people make fun of me on the way home for keeping quoting this, but it is evident from its celebration that the effects of the sacrament of confirmation is the same outpouring as once experienced by the apostles at Pentecost. You don't have a different Holy Spirit. You don't have a 2024 version of the Holy Spirit. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you've been filled with that Holy Spirit. What is the difference? Yeah, there's different historical context. Same enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Same mission, same Lord, same enemies, and you have been filled with the Holy Spirit also for the same mission, for the same job. And now, we don't all have identical gifts. We don't have all identical roles in the body of Christ. And we heard about the gifts, you know, as from the same Spirit, so many gifts, many different manifestations of the same Spirit. And there are two things that I basically want to say about this. So, the Lord wants to break the chains that hold our feet from being sent on mission, okay? And He wants to fill our hearts so that we have full hearts and not emptiness inside. So the problem, if there's a problem in the church, as far as, you know, being part of the mission of evangelizing, it's because our feet are chained and our hearts are empty. We can't be sent on this mission because we're chained to sin, you know, sloth, or gluttony, or any of the sins. I mean, sloth, lust, gluttony, pride. Think of the seven deadly sins, that's helpful. Envy, greed. If we're busy worshiping money, we're chained. I mean, we can't really be worshiping God. If we're just apathetic, you know, I think a lot of times that's another word for sloth. We're chained. We can't really be sent. At the same time, that apathy could also be described as an emptiness of the heart. Not that my heart is empty of anything, but it's just empty of a zeal for what the Lord wants, for His desires, for His agenda, for His kingdom. So what does the Lord want to do? Fill our hearts with zeal and break the chains, snap the chains that hold us to sin. So how do we do this? First, living a life of grace and not being in a state of sin, right? Repenting from sin. Like I mentioned, sins will absolutely chain us and keep us. Well, I shouldn't say absolutely, but they tend to chain us and keep us from being able to be useful to God. And He wants to break those chains. The second is our availability to God. Are you available to be sent on mission? Are you available? Last night we went to Zuki Lake Tavern, Deacon Randy and I, Randy K. By the way, I don't want to steal your thunder. His last name has a cool meaning, but he'll tell you that in a homily sometime or something. And Deacon Randy, as I was, I stepped away from the table for a second. I came back, and Deacon Randy was asking our server, "How can I pray for you? How can we? Is there anything, any prayer requests that you have?" And what is that? That's availability. Okay, that's not, oh, I'm just going to sit down and have a nice dinner. you know, just hanging out with like the coolest priest in the diocese, and we're just whatever, you know, we're having some burgers and it's great. No, it's, why are we here? Well, this server right here, and believe me, like 100%, you were not like 100%, I think this would be a person who needs to hear the gospel based on her answer to you. 100% needs to hear the gospel. And that's availability. So you have to say, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm here, you can send me. You know, it could be that act of service or that phone call or that conversation that you might be too lazy to want to do or fearful. That's a big chain that holds us down, isn't it? Fear. The Lord wants to break that chain and say, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. He wants to fill our hearts with zeal and love and a desire for God's kingdom. He wants us to say, I'm available. Here I am. You can send me. I'm ready to be sent. I'm on your time, Lord, not my time. And finally, if we're going to know what our gifts are, okay, we just have to wait out and start evangelizing, start inviting people, start praying with and for people, start doing the mission. So how do you know what your gifts are? How do you know what your spiritual gifts are? You know, a lot of the time we just assume that somebody can do one of those Sherry Waddell called and gifted seminars, and then they're going to know their spiritual gifts. But she would be the first person to tell you, you can't possibly know your spiritual gifts if you're not living a life of discipleship, if you're not living in a state of grace, if you're not available to the Lord, and if you're not doing the mission of winning souls for Christ. That's what some people might say, win souls for Christ. What does that mean? Helping people to know Jesus, bringing them into the church, in whatever way that you're gifted to do that. But if people aren't, if we're not doing this, we won't know what we're good at in the spiritual sense. What will we think? We will think that our natural gifts are our spiritual gifts, and we'll stop there. And this is why some very naturally gifted people actually find it harder to relate to some of the gifts of the Spirit. Not necessarily. I mean, look at me. I'm super smart. I'm just kidding. It's not because, oh, I really like doing this. Okay, naturally, I'll use myself. That's an easy example. You kind of know me a lot. But what do I find easy naturally? Talking to people. Usually, I'm awkward plenty of the time. I just don't care. Okay, pretty natural. That's a natural gift. Is that my supernatural gift? No, I wouldn't call that a supernatural gift, but it's certainly available to the Lord. If a word of knowledge comes in and I'm able to say something from the Lord that I would have no way of knowing that speaks to that person's heart and helps them to know that God notices them, that's a spiritual gift. I can't do that. That's nothing to do with me. Your gifting is not for you. Your gifting is for others. And the Lord, in pouring out the Spirit on you, has poured out gifts into your hearts. And if we're willing to be used by God, we're going to see what those are. But what we have to do is, so this is very simple. I've said a lot of things, but it boils down to two really simple things. Okay, this past week, at Mike Beauregard's funeral, or just preparing for the funeral, I just realized one of the readings the family chose for his funeral was St. Paul talking about being poured out like a libation. And I just imagined, like, this really described Mike Beauregard. If you knew him, you know what I mean. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. You didn't get more charismatic Catholic than Mike Beauregard. And he, most of the time, if I'm going to talk about myself, I'm like, and I tipped the cup a little bit, and oh, look at all that, that's far enough. And I'm poured out like, okay, that's good enough. But Mike was like, Lord, fill me up with more. Filled up? You know, that's what we have to do. What does that mean? Be receptive to what the Lord wants to give you. Be willing to pour it out for others. So that was super complicated. I'll say it again. Be receptive to what God wants to give you. Let him fill you and be willing to be poured out for others. And to say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is this immersion, this submerging, this receiving of all that he has for you. And then in a willingness to go and be poured out for others so that souls would come to know God's love, to be saved. That come Holy Spirit and fill our hearts. It's such a simple prayer, and yet it's the perennial prayer of the church. Veni Sancti Spiritus. Come Holy Spirit. Veni Sancti Spiritus. Why do we keep praying this? You know, Pentecost has already happened. You've already been confirmed. You know, you received the Holy Spirit in baptism. Without the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't have even wanted baptism. So the Holy Spirit was already at work. And then sacramentally in baptism, and again in a special way to do ministry and confirmation. Why are we still praying, come Holy Spirit? Why? Well, because we need to be constantly refilled, because we're being constantly poured out. Sometimes you're not the one who tips the glass over and does this. Sometimes God does. Your life situation does it to you. Now, you could always hold back, but it can tip you pretty far. And a lot of you, you've been poured out and you've been shaken out. Now tip the glass back over today and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me with your grace. I don't have any grace of my own. I run out on my own. Fill me with your love. I don't have enough charity on my own. I don't have enough patience for my family without you. Fill me with your charity. Fill me with your power. I lose zeal. I lose focus. Fill me with your zeal. I don't really care about the mission of your church. Lord, help me to care about them. That's a great prayer. Lord, help me to be zealous about the mission of your church, because right now I care more about something else. But I want to want what you want. It's a great prayer. And we ask the Lord to fill us, and maybe you do want what he wants. Okay, that makes it easier. You know, your heart's already, and he will absolutely answer those prayers. What is the gift of God? You know, there are many gifts of God. What is the gift of God? It is the Holy Spirit. And to anyone who asks, they receive. And so that's our job today. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and I'm willing to be sent and poured out for others.